This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, and today's going to be an interesting show. I've got a lot to talk about: dogs, cats, and, well, a little bit of celebrity, a little bit. So maybe I'll start with the dog news. Here we go on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Welcome to the party. So, you know, lately I've been doing a little bit of a series, an unintended, absolutely unintended, on bad dog owners that I come across. Yeah, I wish I wasn't coming across them so often. But the worst dog owner of the year so far on the beach for me is the one I just saw. Now, the dog, lovely dog named Penny, I was told it's a golden doodle. Doesn't look like a golden doodle. Looks like a slightly larger black cocker spaniel. That's what it looks like. But anyway, I don't really trust anything the guy says, because he told me the last time I saw him on the beach that it was his dog's first time swimming ever. But I had already seen the dog swimming at previous trips to the beach. So the guy's just full of it. And I don't know why people make up these stories. You know, I remember once when I was younger, there was this girl, little girl, same age as me, a little bit younger, and she had these striking, striking eyes. And my mother asked her mother, "Are those natural?" And her mother said, "Yes, they're natural." And the girl looked at me and said, "I don't know why she lies about it. She knows I have colored contacts." And that's this kind of thing. I'm sure the dog was thinking, "What are you talking about? I've been swimming all summer." So anyway, so he made up this story about how it was his first time swimming. Okay. Well, why is this guy the worst bad dog owner on the beach to me? Well, number one, I'll give you a whole bunch of reasons. I'm just going to spell them out. He lets his dog run around without watching where it's going. So if it has to go to the bathroom, it's going to go wherever it wants, and he's not going to notice. Number one, do you want to step in that when you're walking on the beach or your kids are playing Frisbee? No. Okay, that's number one. He's not walking it on a leash to the woods. I've never seen him walk it on the leash to the woods like the other good dog owners do. Nope. It has no choice. Not the dog's fault. Okay. Number two, he does not teach it to avoid people's blankets and towels. In fact, he doesn't care. So this dog will run all over people's blankets and towels, picnic stuff, scattering sand and mud everywhere. It will take the toy he's throwing for it and dig a little crater under the toy. And then the sand it's digging flies all over the place at other people's faces and blankets and all kinds of stuff. And if anyone complains, he gives them an attitude like they're an animal hater. Okay, so this is my one day where I'm not dealing with dog messes. I'm on the beach and this dog's kicking sand at me because, of course, it decides to sit right by me and bring the toy right to me. And it can smell that I'm friendly, but, you know, this is not what I want at the beach. So anyway, so this is what's going on. But that didn't make him the worst dog owner. No, no. The reason he's the worst dog owner is because he would huck the Frisbee into the ocean and not look, or completely turn his back on the dog while other people, thinking they were doing the dog a favor, would huck the Frisbee into the middle of the ocean. Okay, so we're talking about a beach that is west-facing. It's a peninsula. It's on the Georgia Strait. It's the Pacific Ocean. It doesn't usually have undertows, but the waves can be choppy. The tide can go out. And this dog is quite small, Cocker Spaniel size, right? And it's struggling. And people keep hucking this thing so far. They're throwing this toy so far that the dog could barely make it there. And then by the time it gets there, the toy's half sunk and it's sort of paddling around upright in the water, trying to see the toy, trying to see the toy. And you can see this dog has a really strong bred-in work ethic, as doodles would, as poodles would, as golden retrievers would. They're retriever dogs. And Cocker Spaniels are also supposed to retrieve birds. So this dog won't leave it. He just won't leave it. He'd rather drown than leave it. And the guy's turning his back on this little puppy. So that's why he wins the Worst Dog Owner Award for today. All right. Now we're going to talk about some other things. And later in the show, I'm going to talk to you about something fascinating. Where do different cats come from? I mean, if you look in a cat book, and I've got one in front of me right now, a really good one. It's called The Illustrated Encyclopedia of Cat Breeds. It's awesome. And there's a whole page on colors. And it just, like, it'll say the breed. And then all it shows like a color palette, almost like you'd see at a paint store. all the different breeds that all the different colors that match that breed, and then the next one, and then the next one, and then it, and it's astounding the variety. So what I'm going to talk to you about today, I don't know how far I'll get through it. I have about eight. One, two, three, four. Yeah, eight that I listed, made notes on, of the kind of most common breeds you would maybe already have come across, like Siamese, like Russian Blue, cats you've probably seen, that are very, very ancient. So we can track where domestic cats started, like what part of the world. It's very cool. I'm going to talk about that later. And I'm going to talk about Mary Tyler Moore. Did you know she was a poodle person? I bet you didn't. All right, stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. We're coming back to talk cats and dogs at the Animal Party. Stay tuned. This is Deborah Wolf, host of Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. You know the expression, cats have nine lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. So you're listening to Deborah Wolf, that's me. And if you want to see me demonstrating how to train a cat to shake paw or come when called or jump over a fence post, or you want to see me show you how to look at two seemingly identical eight-week-old puppies, pick them up and figure out which one is more active, which one less, what the differences in personality are already from just a very quick one-minute little exam. If you want to see that, go to Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube, because that's where you'll find that and all kinds of basics. Come sit, stay, heel for dogs, manners for cats. Everything you need is there. And you can see it demonstrated with naughty pets who become polite right before your eyes. Okay, so Fabio, my poodle, has like a dual personality. Now, he doesn't have bipolar or anything like that. But when he's out in the field playing with other dogs, he is the most athletic, the most energetic, the most interactive, Mr. Bouncy Poodle. He's all over the acreage at Camp Good Dog. He's just like the ever-ready bunny out there. Bing, 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 bouncing around. And then he gets to the house. And someone once said to me when I was saying, to the woman who was walking him, I said, how was he today? Was he super hyper? And the person who heard me, my friend David, said, what are you talking about? All he does is lie on the couch and watch TV, because that's what he's like at home. When he crashes hard. And there's dogs like this who get, when they get enough exercise, they can be just ever so easy to own at home. And standard poodles are typically like that. But let's talk about Mary Tyler Moore. So Mary Tyler Moore was told by the show executives, producers, that the set needed a little warming up and she should bring in some family photos. So what'd she do? She brought in a picture of her two poodles. And I know that because she was interviewed on Betty White's Pet Show and they had the two white poodles who are miniatures, I believe. Or no, they were silvers. Silver and miniature. You can probably find that footage on YouTube, actually. Anyway, they had these two silver mini poodles come on. One, I think, was named Winston, and do a little cameo appearance on Betty White's Pet Show way back in the day. But I think it's interesting to think that what she thought would warm up the set was a picture of her two poodles. Go Mary. All right. I loved that show when I was a kid. I really, really did. And I especially loved Rhoda. But that's for another time. Now we're going to talk a little bit about cats. Let's talk about cats. So I wanted to tell you about the history of cats. We're going to start a little bit about that. But before I do, I want to say that, you know, the word Molly's now become synonymous with a street drug. But When I was learning to all this cat training and dog training, Molly was what we called a female cat. That is right. Or we called her a queen. Now that's appropriate. So if we can't use Molly anymore, I guess a female cat is a queen. And I think most of the cats would agree with you. We can use that old term instead. A female dog is a dam, and a male, if they're mating, is a sire. So we don't have to use outdated words or swear words for them either. Okay, so let's go to the cats. Now, it's interesting to think, where did they originate? Well, they originated 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 places at once. So way up in the top of Russia, near the Arctic Circle, is one place. Another place is in Burma, and you can guess who came from there. Yep. Okay. Well, we'll get to that in a second. Actually, two breeds from Burma. And then we have Thailand. You might be able to guess which breed came from there, probably. And then we have Ethiopia. So after that, quite a few of them were brought to France. And from France, we have some other breeds. And all of them ended up in North America. So here we go. I'm going to tell you first about the Burma breeds. Now, Burma, I think, is now called Myanmar, but the cats still are called Burman and Burmese, the two cats that came from that part of the world. So at the end of World War II, a pair of temple cats were sent to France, and from those two cats, the breed of Burman was created. Now, the Burmese, a cat called Wongman, was taken from Burma to the United States in 1980 and was the foundation queen of the breed. Now, I kind of find this interesting, too, because it points out a topic I'm always trying to stress to everybody, which is cats can make a lot of babies. And if you have a cat, you really ought to spay it. So we can see how one cat taken from a part of the world has made all the ones you see today that look like that. So really, you really got to be careful. And I know it sounds crazy, but if you have one intact male cat and one intact female cat, and they make babies in 5 years, hypothetically, they can have 11,000 kittens, which is a ton, way more than we need, way more than we need. So spay and neuter your cats. But now we're going to just go a little more and tell you one more before we go to break. And I will get back to dog talk. Don't you all worry. In fact, I'm going to talk about a situation with a beautiful lab cross who ended up in big trouble in the water. Yeah, I'll tell you about that after the break. So back to the cats. We're talking about the top of Russia and near the archipelago. And this is where the Russian blue came from. So we were talking about the Burman cats, and they kind of, sort of an interesting looking cat. The Burmese especially, short-haired, the Burman has longer hair. The Burman has a gray face and white body. The Burmese is different colors, but very sleek look to it, very strong look to it, and almost hairless around the eyebrows. Now, the Russian blue is often silver, but again, you would have to go to these breed colors to really identify, because the colors have been changed a lot. But originally, it was a blue cat, so like a gray-blue, like a Weimaraner. And they were brought from the port of Archangel in Russia all the way to France. The Burmese also were brought to France. And when we come back after the break, I'll tell you a little bit more about some of this history. But I'm also going to tell you about the otters and the lab cross. Stay tuned on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio.
Gifts for my pets, sparkle and love, under the tree, from heaven above. Gifts for my pets, joy in the air, unwrapping dreams, without a care.
Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and is conveniently located on the cat tree. Go to cattreetray.com. Bring home a luxury French bulldog from the world-famous Tom King's Kennel. Premium French bulldogs from excellent European bloodlines. Superior puppy care and lifetime health guarantee for your perfect companion. Use code TOMKINGSMAGIC for a magical holiday discount. Visit TomKingsKennel.com and find your perfect Frenchie today. Your pets will be over the moon with sparkly jewelry from Over the Moon Jewelry. Beautiful handcrafted matching jewelry for you and your pets. Wire-wrapped, beaded contemporary necklaces, bracelets, and charms. Go to OverTheMoonJewelry.com.
Gifts for my pets. Joy in the air. Unwrapping dreams without a care.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. I'm just going to update you on the cat history, finish off the topic I started. So the Manx cats, they came from France. After all these other cats were brought there, they created them there, and from there to North America. And the same for the Rex. So I think I'll leave the last three, the Siamese, the Abyssinian, and the Chinchilla, for next time. And I'm going to go to some dog news. So on Vancouver Island, there was an incident where, and I, this may be, you know what, this may be the worst beach owner, the worst dog at the beach. Yeah, they probably take the cake. Maybe they get the medal. So somebody, a woman walking her dog, walks the dog to the same place all the time, sees otters, and I put this in quotes, playing, and decides to throw for her dog and let her dog swim around the otters. And the otters attacked that dog, and that dog drowned. And now the woman is, you know, going to the press and giving lots of interviews and talking about PTSD. And I do feel for her because she lost her dog. But I feel more for the dog, and I feel more for the otters, because the otters are there raising babies. They have pups right now, and they don't want some carnivore coming in, something that looks to them like a coyote or a wolf, a predator. Of course they're going to attack the dog with tiny little bites, but there's a lot of them, and they're bigger than you think. And they're more at home in the water than your canine, no matter what kind of dog he is. So when you see wildlife, put your dog on a leash for the sake of the wildlife most of the time. But that dog could have grabbed a otter baby, and they don't know the difference between a domestic dog and a pack of wild dogs. So you can't blame the otters like this woman's doing. She's trying to get a campaign going to get rid of the otters. And to me, this is insanity. You got to keep your dog on a leash. Now, I know you people listening in Florida, you don't let your dogs run into ponds because it could be alligators there, right? Well, people have to start paying attention to these things. Take care of your dogs. Keep them on leash when you're unsure of the area or whenever you see any wildlife. Even small wildlife that you think your dog can handle could easily have diseases. You know, you don't want your dog getting some kind of parasite, or worse, getting attacked by a rabid animal, because most of these animals, they don't want to encounter your dog or your cat. They really don't. They really, really don't. The only animals who want to encounter your cat are animals who want to eat it. So you want to keep your cat safe from wildlife, your dog safe from wildlife. If you can keep your cats indoors, that's the safest. They live way longer. If you let them outside, then put a bell on them so they're not killing things, and tags so you can get them back. And good tattoo ID and a microchip, and train them to come home and have cat doors that close in the evenings. And ideally, you only let them out with you in supervised areas that have good fencing over top and all around, so birds of prey can't come in and swoop down and take your cat. You got to be safe with these animals, everybody. All right. So because I said something that was a little negative about the otters, we're going to go to some happy news before we end the show today. And that's at the London Zoo. At the London Zoo, they do an annual weigh-in. Yeah. Okay. So 14,000 animals get weighed. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And yeah, it's so interesting. I watched some footage of this. If you can go on YouTube and look it up, it's really interesting. They get the animals different ways. A lot of them are tempted by food on the scale. Some have to be picked up and you stand on the scale and you subtract your weight. Some have to be tricked into walking into scales. I mean, it's all very fascinating to see. So if you ever stressed out about weighing in yourself somewhere, just think of these animals. Oh my goodness, what a stressful time. And okay, so if you've got a dog or cat that's particularly nervous at the vet, you want to take your dog or cat there a lot. And in the case of a dog, I would suggest they usually have the scale in the waiting room because they want you to weigh as you're waiting to be received by reception so they can get your weight, your dog's weight rather. Don't worry, they're not weighing you. Unless your dog is so bad that you have to get on the scale and announce your weight in the reception so they can subtract it. So this is why you want to do this. You want to teach your dog to get on the scale so that doesn't happen to you. So they always offer treats. If your dog's really sensitive or allergic, bring your own. And then you just get your dog to stand on the scale, even if you have to lift him on there, even if you have to pull him on there with a leash, even if he's scared and trembling, just put him on there somehow, okay? And then love him up, cuddle him, praise him. If he'll take the treat, he's not that stressed. When dogs are really stressed, they won't take a treat. So calm him down, cuddle him. If he's too stressed to take the treat, let him jump off the scale. Maybe he's scared of the metal. You could try putting a blanket he knows on there. Maybe he's scared of the sound. Maybe he's just scared of the clinic. Give it another try. But you want to get him so used to the scale that when you go there for something like a painful thing, that's not added to his stress. The cats, you don't really have to worry about the weigh-in because it's a little tiny scale on the counter. And the cat sort of likes being contained and likes being in that. And they usually put something in it so it's not cold. But cats are very nervous at the vet too. So what I would suggest with cats is not so much going there often and all that. Dogs will learn to love the vet. Most cats won't. So I would suggest instead you handle your cat a lot. You get your cat used to being handled, and not just by you, by people who visit, by friends. So it's not just only mom who touches me, right? And don't just touch it on the head and the ears. Make sure your cat lets you touch it everywhere. It might take a while to do that. And I've demonstrated that at Deb Wolf Pet Expert YouTube. I started with one of my kittens on how to brush a long-haired rescue cat. It's not really used to being brushed. And so I've demonstrated sort of lesson one. I'm about to post that, and I'll do lesson two soon because he needs to be brushed again. If you don't like brushing yourself, you don't have a big, high maintenance hairdo, and you don't have kids that require braids and updos and all kinds of hairdos, or you do have those kids and you resent doing it or you don't like doing it, well, don't get a long-haired cat because they need it all the time, even the medium-length cats. This cat has a sibling, two brothers that I rescued. One's short-haired. He doesn't really need to be brushed. I brush him because he needs to get used to being brushed everywhere and touched everywhere, but really he's never needed it yet. And then there's his brother with the medium coat that needs it every week. Oh man, it's like a new hobby for me. So if you don't want that hobby, get a short-haired cat. There's plenty of those in the rescue shelters for sure. Okay, so I've demonstrated all that on YouTube and you can see it there. And I guess I'm going to end the show with that. With cats though, if you've got a cat who's nervous about going to the vet, you teach it to be touched. You take it in the kennel that you're going to be using to go in and out of the vet. You maybe leave that open with the door off or open, put temptation treats or whatever you like in there from time to time, right? Pet it in there, put some catnip in there, make the little cage not something they're afraid of. And that's usually very easy to do because cats like little cages, little dens, just like dogs do. So even more so. So you make it their favorite little hidey place, and then that's not stressing them out when they're going to the vet. And you might even want to take them on an extremely short car ride that goes nowhere. Put them in the crate, take them in the car, go around the block, come home. Do that a few times so the car isn't a panic situation either. Okay, so once you've done all that and you're ready to go to the vet and you're about to call up and say, hey, I'm due for annual vaccines. You sent me my reminder. I'm bringing Tabby. Instead of just letting them book your appointment, you can say, could I have an appointment at a time when there's not many dogs? Could I have an appointment at a time when it's very quiet? Because the clinics don't mind. There'll be a day when there's like all cats that day or some cats, or maybe it's surgery day and there's hardly anybody coming and going, but you can get an appointment. They don't mind making special accommodations so your cat will be calmer and more well-behaved. They don't want to be scratched or bitten. So, and that way everything goes smoother. You could also consider, if you only have cats and you don't have dogs, you might consider going to a cats-only vet. Because then you don't have to make a special time. And then they really know cats and they really love cats. And your cat will be more comfortable there. But I like to pick my favorite vet, and my favorite vet does cats and dogs. So that's what I do. If I have to bring in a sick cat, I'll make sure it's at a quiet time. All right, everybody. I think I told you about everything. It was so delightful. If you do look up the Mary Tyler Moore footage with her and Betty White on that show, it is so delightful to watch. It's only a few minutes, but seeing the two of them young and vibrant with these poodles bouncing all over the set, it's something to watch. And Betty White was a true friend to dogs, to cats, and animal rescue. And she still has foundations long after her passing that are helping animal rescue. So big salute to Betty White. All right, everybody. From me and Animal Party and Pet Life Radio, thanks for listening and be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.